You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forged in the fires of undersoil heating. Stronger than the steel of a stadium roof. Their name is uttered in anguish and ecstasy.
It's all about the football gods. All they can do is hope they're smiling on them.
Never seen, never heard, but with ultimate power. These are the Football Gods.
Their names are part of football folklore. They're often turned to in times of need. They can be a fan's last resort. But who are the Football Gods?
I'm Tim Spears.
And I'm Kate Mason.
We'll be pondering the important questions such as, what moment are you wiping from history? And what are your football commandments?
Given the power, how would you change football? Happy New Year, everybody. Kicking off the new year, we have got so much planned for you on the Football Gods. And so we wanted to give you, if you're just joining us, we wanted to give all of you brand new listeners a taste of what you've missed so far, so you don't miss another single second. We're going to give you some of our favourite stories from the last year. Aren't we, Tim Spears? First of all, though, the story that all the listeners want to hear is, what are your New Year's resolutions?
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to do some real good podcasts. that is my New Year's resolution is for the people who listen to Football Gods. We're going to make it the best damn podcast in their ears.
That's a little bit sucky uppy.
It's very on message, isn't it?
Were you a teacher's pet by any chance?
I tried. What's yours, Kate Mason?
I think I might try and learn to cook a bit better.
You mean you want to do freestyle, like just grab some rice and
your
hand and then that's enough?
Yeah, right. I want to be able to be like, oh, what's in the fridge?
Can't teach that though, can you?
No, I think it's going to be a big resolution. Actually, I'm a bit worried that I've now committed to this publicly. That's a mistake.
So, what have we got coming up in today's special bonus 2024 podcast?
We don't know anybody's New Year's resolutions, but I reckon I can guess what David Seaman's is. More fishing. Go on then, tell us about David Seaman. What did
you
get up
to? Yeah, so David Seaman was our first ever guest, and what a way to start. So, yeah, he's known for his goalkeeping prowess and his hair. and yeah, he spoke about David Beckham's hair, Arsene Wenger's diet, of course, the famous Arsenal 90s diet. Went into some great detail about that. But the main story, it certainly stuck with us, I think, from the day, was his story about a faith healer, who many people will remember, by the name of Eileen Drury, a very controversial figure in Glenn Hoddle's England reign. But David told a quite incredible story about the influence that she had on him, physically and mentally.
Yeah, I can't stop retelling that story. I'm like a walking, talking podcast. I fear I might run out of friends if I don't stop doing that stuff. But anyway, David Seaman is our friend. So should we hear from him?
Let's hear it again.
Eileen Drury, you know, Glenn Hoddle's like faith healer. So as much stick as she gets, right? I was told before 98 World Cup that I needed a shoulder operation, and I needed it, and I would not have got back in time to play in the World Cup. And Glenn at the time, he went, well, he said, what about seeing Eileen? I was like, all right then. And I saw her twice, right? And all she did was like put her hands on my shoulder, on my head and everything. And it was two sessions, and I never had the operation, and I played.
Wow.
And then, so all I can tell you is, like, what happened to me, you know, and as I know a lot of players, like, totally binned it off. You know, I know a few players that did it as well. But yeah, I've never known anything like it. It wasn't like a deep massage or anything like that on my shoulder. But I do remember going back to the hotel with England and falling asleep at 6 o'clock in the evening and waking up at 8 o'clock the next day. It was just so strange, but it worked.
Former striker turned co-commentator Don Goodman, he's got a lot of plans. I love the way he kind of dug into all this, didn't he, Tim? Like, some people have really, like, thought long and hard about these questions, and then some are like spur of the moment, you know, I'm riffing, this is what's going to happen. And so I loved a bit of that. He's into sin bins, controversial also, fried chicken, and watching the game with some of history's most famous faces. What was also fun for me, not that I'm like sadist or anything, but it was quite cute when you pretty much cried about the Wolves story that he told.
Yeah, he brings up one of the lowest moments of my life, which isn't easy to talk about. I enjoy the riffing. It reflects the amount of preparation some of our guests do or don't. But they're both good ways of approaching the podcast. Some people just stick with what first thing that comes to their mind. Some people, like Max Rushton, really think about it in advance. But both make for great podcasts, I think. And Don was very much of the riffing variety. But yeah, he gave us some fantastic answers, including one that made me shed a tear all those years on.
So I thought I'd go down the Wolverhampton Wanderers route here.
Here we go.
Okay. And I would banish from history the second leg of the playoff at Burnden Park, Bolton, where we lost and lost the semi-final of the playoff.
You might have to take over. This is going to be
difficult
for me to talk about. I watched the highlights of this the other day, you know.
Oh.
It popped up on YouTube.
Yeah, did it?
I've never seen the highlights before.
Have you seen the home game? Remember the home game?
I remember the home game, yeah.
Well, the home game was the biggest. I've never smashed the team so much and only won 2-1 in the home game. So we're 2-1. We've hit the woodwork five times, I think it was. And they had the audacity to bring Peter Shilton out of retirement to play. Yeah. In these playoffs, and he was amazing. He actually was incredible. He must have been about 57 at the time. To be fair, he was incredible. And no matter how hard we tried, we just couldn't extend the lead from 2-1 to 3-1. And then we went back to Burnden Park, and the rest is history. There was a few shenanigans going on. We would argue that John McGinn should have been sent off. And
he should have been your answer to number four, Don.
He's definitely your answer,
yeah,
isn't he?
I know. Can I even say his name?
But yeah, if I banish that second leg and we have the game played over one leg at home at Molineux, then we win.
Nedim Onuaha took a utopian approach, I think, to changing the game. He is, of course, a forward footballer and now ESPN pundit, amongst various other illustrious things. He's also on Guardian Football Weekly. Hello to those guys. Max Rushton is coming up. He had no time for players who are out for themselves and also teams who are hanging on to old glory. Some things that, particularly in recent times, a lot of us can identify with, I feel like, Tim.
Yeah, he was great. He's the kind of person I could listen to all day, and you'd never quite know what he's going to say next, which I really like.
He is a wise guy, and so he made a very good God. Here he is.
I would love the history, or the semi-recent history of a fallen giant, to be erased so that fans of that football club and the way we perceive them can be more neutral, because I like the desire of a team that wants to win something for the first time more so than one that expects to be winning all the time because they did it 10, 15, 20 years ago. Like, that's exhausting. Like, because you
so
did
Manchester
well back
United.
Then. Because you did well at some point in the past. Because you did well at some point in the past. And, you know, if we are to use Manchester United as an example
as an example.
They were so dominant from way back when, but football, the world, everything's changed at this point. So why do we still have a sense that they should be winning something?
A football god I absolutely loved, Tim, was FQI writer and No Such Thing as a Fish podcaster, Anna Tyshinsky. Their podcast is really cool. So it was good to have a doyen of the podcasting scene on with us. She threw us a lot of curveballs, I think it's fair to say. She showed up with facts and figures. She brought us stuff from everything, her book that she's just written about sport, Everything to Play For, the QI Book of Sports. And she really nailed the sending to hell, because I know that some people who've come on have been a little bit nervous about sending members of football teams to hell, because you can get a whole raft of people from other teams on your back. And so she got around that very cleverly.
She did. We're not allowed to have favourites. This is like picking a favourite child. Your parents don't really do that. I don't have children, but I imagine that's how it goes. But, you know, was this my favourite episode? It was right up there. And it delved into the history books to bring us some incredible answers. She was fantastic.
The football player I would damn to hell is Henry VIII. What am I talking about?
We've had that already.
I knew I would be able to come up with anything original here. Yeah, look, he owned the world's first pair of football boots. So we know he was a footballer. These were found in his wardrobe. And I feel okay bitching about him because he's long dead and he was a real
asshole. He's a prick. Yeah.
And, you know, killed about 53,000 people, which I hadn't realised until recently. It had 53,000 people executed. We bitch about Bloody Mary and her couple of hundred. And he played football. So that's my answer. Henry VIII. There we go. No supporter of any team could get angry with me for that.
That's extremely smart.
Thank you.
The Football Gods.
Right, next up is Nick Hancock, English actor, comedian, television presenter, podcast host of the famous Sloping Pitch, and definitely, probably, almost certainly, television's best-known Stoke City supporter. And, of course, he was host of They Think It's All Over, a very popular TV quiz in the 90s. Nick, we're talking of curveballs. Nick threw us a huge one with his dislike of penalty shootouts, an extreme dislike. I've never come across anything like it before. This is a very unique answer.
I have an antipathy towards the penalty, personally. I don't watch them. I hadn't watched one since 1971 until last year.
I can't tell if this is a running up to a punchline.
This is absolutely true. Football is a game of movement and speed and athleticism and physicality, and the penalty is darts, really. And, you know, darts is difficult. I agree, but darts isn't football. That's my problem with penalties. But listen, I'm aware that that's just my own personal problem. The fact that we missed out on two FA Cup finals in the early 70s because of penalties, it's got nothing to do with it whatsoever.
It all comes out now.
Yeah.
Well, so on the theme of doing what you want with football, Nick, is there an alternative you have in mind for penalty shootouts?
Well, you know, they used to have this thing in the American League where you had to do like a one-on-one from the halfway line. I think a one-on-one from the halfway line, but with all the players allowed to run after you. So everybody lines up along the halfway line, and a bit like some sort of stupid chase thing. It's that sort of thing, exactly. You know, you have the ball rolled in front of you, and then that's it. All mayhem can be let loose from that point on. That would interest me.
That's pretty good.
Okay,
I like that.
It's definitely got drama. I can see that.
Yeah, I haven't finished it. I hold my hands up. You know, it's not a finished idea.
I don't know if it has the same drama as you know, Euro 2020, standing in front of the whole of Wembley and trying to put the ball into the back of the net while all your teammates watched on, but it's got movement. So.
Well, I'll give you drama. How dramatic was it for me, for instance, because I don't watch penalties at Euro 96?
So wait, sorry to interrupt again. Do you just stop? So you just, if a game, according to you, a game has not been won if it goes to penalties, because you just stop watching it, you never hear what happens.
I leave. Wow. I went to the Italy game, the final, with my son, And I left him in there. I went to the Euro 96 semi-final against West Germany and left. And I'll tell you what, standing outside Wembley Stadium when there's nobody there and it's absolutely packed and there's a penalty shootout going on, it's fantastic. I've did the same in Saint-Étienne. Was it Saint-Étienne for England, Argentina? I've done it so many, England, Portugal as well, in Gelsenkirchen. I've done this many, many, many times. Of course, the trouble is, being a miserable and curmudgeonly bugger, the moment I started doing it, I had to keep doing it, even though sometimes, really, I wanted to stay in.
Music legend and Lightning Seeds frontman Ian Brodie joined us on the Football Gods Clouds. And unsurprisingly, he had a lot to say about the role music plays in football. And it was basically magic. His Three Lions anthem is the thing that I hear when I'm thinking about any kind of England football achievement. And it's a bloody great tune. But he's also incredibly deep about music and football, we found out.
Yeah, magic's the word, Kate. I was a bit worried that he'd be sick to back teeth of talking about Three Lions, because I'm sure it's all he's asked about. And he's had an incredible career with the Lightning Seeds, who have produced some quite excellent music, in my opinion. But yeah, he was magic is the word. It's clearly two of his great passions in life are football and music. And then to combine that, and the way that he's sort of brought it through his son as well, and now his son's a Liverpool fan, and he's on stage with him with the Lightning Seeds. It's just beautiful stuff. I could listen to him all day. He was great.
Well, I mean, I think music is magic, you know, it is sorcery, it is some way of speaking to one another in a way that we can't explain. And it is an amazing thing that, you know, some bloke in Liverpool sings something, you know, didn't exist, and then you pretend it exists, and then it exists somehow, and then it goes out over the airwaves, which I don't understand at all. It's someone in Mexico who's got nothing in common with him. Their life is totally different. And they relate to that song. And 20 years later, you're at a festival in Mexico and that guy is singing your song back at you. And you're like, if that's not magic, what is it? You know, and at the greatest moments, the most emotional moments of your life, you know, if it's a wedding or a funeral or a football game or, you know, you sing, you know. And when you're so sad, it's a song that can make you, you know, maybe even wallow in it, but get better. Or, you know, so I think it's underestimated. And the connection between football, which is obviously high emotions, I think, you know, football is a kind of strange thing, isn't it? Because where else would you get so many people in such a heightened state and maybe in a different country? You know, when are you going to get 20,000 British blokes in a heightened state? You're only in a war or a football game, really.
Chief football commentator at ITV and TalkSport, Sam Matterface, gets rid of mobile phones at matches in his episodes of The Football Gods. He's going to reorganise the football calendar, which is wise and overdue. And yeah, he talks about a very well-known moment from the Champions League final 2019, Liverpool against Real Madrid, which still brings him to tears, and a lot of Liverpool fans as well, I suppose. But he had a unique insight into the drama that unfolded that day. So here he is, Sam Matterface.
Loris Karius's mistake is one of the worst things I have ever seen. Now, I think it's one of those moments where you can take the mick, right? Okay, and loads of people probably have done and whatever. And I get that because that's football. It happens, and we do. Roy Wegley misses an own goal in a league game against Chelsea, and I never want to speak to him ever again, right? It's been 40 years. Don't come near me. Loris Karius has made a mistake in a Champions League final and cost his team the European Cup, and I can't feel like that about him because I went afterwards downstairs into the mix zone, and I was the only person to speak to him and do an interview with him after that game. Yes. And it was heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking. And it's one of those interviews that actually we played again ahead of the Newcastle-Manchester United Carabao Cup final, because I don't know if you remember this, but the Newcastle players all had letters written to them by their partners or close associates or family members or whatever to sort of inspire them going into that particular game. And his wife wrote him a letter. And when I was reading through doing my research for the cup final, I saw this letter from his wife, which was absolutely heartbreaking. And he'd sort of got this gig where he was the Newcastle goalkeeper for a cup final when he hadn't played for God knows how long. And I remembered the interview, and we went back, found it, aired it again, and listening to it again just made me want to cry, because he is crying during the interview. Not audibly, sort of you can just hear it, but I remember it clearly. He is crying. He is absolutely devastated. He knows, he's an intelligent guy. He knows at that moment that his life is never going to be the same again. He's going to be haunted by that mistake forever. And he knows it. And it was just harrowing to watch. And I felt so sorry. I still feel, even talking about it now, I feel like I'm welling up, because I think it's so sad that his whole career has changed immeasurably because of that moment. And he's a nice guy. He's worked really hard. He's clearly a lovely family man. He's incredibly good looking, by the way. But he made the biggest mistake in a Champions League final, and that will forever haunt him.
Next up, we've got for you Max Rushton. He was one of our early episodes, wasn't he? And he is the host for UEFA's Champions League and Europa League coverage on Stan Sports in Australia, where he joined us from. He had a lot of plans for football. It felt like this was the podcast he'd been waiting for his whole life.
Big time.
He's shaking up transfer, deadline day. He changes the football calendar. He's banning suits. I think he sent a few people to jail as well. And then he went off on one with his choice of who's going to hell. And in a way, it was kind of beautiful.
The person who I'm sending to hell is Ali McCoist. And
sure.
And the reasoning is as follows.
Sort of
right?
A popular choice. Get the punters really backing me.
Please, if you put this out on social media, let me give the reasoning. I think it is impossible in football, either as a footballer or a broadcaster or a manager or anything, it is impossible to be universally loved, right? I don't know anybody like some people like me. Some people think I'm the worst thing to have happened to a number of shows, basically every show that I have presented. And I sort of, that's fine. I don't mind it. I find it quite funny. But Ali is universally loved. I can't think of anyone else. Jeff Stelling, maybe. I can think of barely anyone who everybody goes, yeah, they're great. I think they're brilliant at what they do and I love them. So he would go to hell and he would be universally loved and he would turn hell into a great place. He would reform everyone and then there would be no hell. And that makes actually my life as God a lot easier. And Ali is so nice, he would understand. He'd be like, fair enough, that's the job I've got to do. He would take it on with real enthusiasm. He'd probably have John Champion next to him because they dovetail really well. And I just think they'd reclaim hell for us.
And finally, we finish on Wolves coach Sean Derry. What a nice bloke. This was in person at the Wolves training ground, which we loved. And yeah, there were some great tales from Sean, including on the colour of football boots, which is something I wasn't expecting. Yay. And in particular, his crazy pre-match meal, pre-match routines and rituals. Footballers are crazy for this, but Sean, with his choice of meal over many decades, really took the biscuit, not involving biscuits.
We probably should have a warning for anybody who's like overindulged on over the Christmas period. Just take care when you listen to this bit, because made me feel a little bit funny to think about it all going on. The routine didn't just involve eating, put it like that.
From the age of 16 when I started playing football up until 35 when I finished, I only ever had, for pre-match, beans on toast.
Wow, I was waiting for the big reveal there. Yeah. It did not disappoint, I got to say.
Beans on toast.
Amazing.
I couldn't have anything else. it was just, and my habits before the game was just bizarre. My habits were just bizarre before the game. You know, the superstitions that you'd carry into a game of football.
Yeah.
Beans on toast was just, I couldn't have anything else.
Okay, so
I
just
want to know a lot about the habits, but can I just briefly ask, what quantity of beans and toast are we talking here? Is it a can, two cans, how many bits of toast?
Two slices of toast.
Two slices?
Half a beans.
On each?
Each one.
Yeah.
And that is it.
Butter.
Butter and beans. And I remember being in a hotel, I just signed for Leeds, and I was living in a hotel for the first month, and the first home game was against West Ham, and they didn't have any beans in this hotel, so I had to walk out of the hotel. I went to this kind of this marketplace down in the centre of Leeds, in my Leeds United tracksuit, just to get some beans on toast.
But that's incredible commitment for 17 years.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed.
Wouldn't have anything else. Yeah.
Heinz beans, or
gotta be.
Other brands are available. Yeah, Branston, whatever.
Yeah.
And brown or white bread.
Brown.
Right.
Brown bread. Yeah.
And finally, are you cooking the beans in a pan or microwave?
Pan.
Pan's fine.
I think that makes sense.
It's very sensible, actually. Now they talk about it in detail. Yeah. And it sounds like you had a whole system before a game. How did that, talk us through it if it's not going to take the next 2 hours? And how did that come about? Like, how did those bits piece together over time?
Just habits. I never used to, I mean, I didn't score in the real game, so it was pointless me trying to score before a game, but I'd never shoot a goal before a game. I would always go out and I would do 8 widths of the pitch as a run to start with. My warm-up would start maybe an hour and a half before the game, where I would be on the mats and, you know, different stretching. And so I was constantly going, you know, I was churning off calories. Ridiculous. I could never sit and relax and just read the programme or anything like that. I'd always have to be on the move. And then I'd be...
It's probably all the beans.
Yeah. And then just before kickoff, I'd make myself sick.
Oh, wow.
Ah.
So I would have... It would be habits of just every single moment of my preparation. And yeah, I was sick before every game.
Every game?
Yeah. Nerves and, you know, kind of like the adrenaline of the game. Yeah.
So because you've worked yourself up so much, is that what...
Yeah, just adrenaline that's flowing around your body, and it kind of like affects your system a little bit, so...
The Football Gods!
And that's it. Those are our favourite bits from The Football Gods so far, and you should join us for the next favourite bits that are going to be coming up in the future. There's going to be lots more of them, aren't there, Tim?
Yeah, no, we've got loads coming up for you guys in the next few weeks. Some fantastic guests who we can't reveal just yet. They're going to be a big surprise. So keep on listening, folks. We are loving doing this podcast, and we hope you are loving listening to us.
I'm Kate Mason.
And I'm Tim Spears. See you next time.
Bye.
The Football Gods is a Voiceworks Sport production.
Social Podcast Network.